Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBarker Butler here is here to bring us stories from other parts of the world and reassure us that foreign countries aren't all bad from that point of view. Right, Jonathan, we're going to go to New Zealand first. Odd kind of, this woman is suing her boyfriend for doing, or has failed to sue her boyfriend for doing what?
Her ex-boyfriend, which is probably understandable.
Fair enough, yes.
So this is a story from New Zealand's Disputes Tribunal, and that place deals with claims up to 17,000 euros, right? 30,000 New Zealand dollars.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so this woman basically says that her then partner failed to stick to a verbal contract that the two of them had agreed, right? Now, dates and names and all of that kind of stuff are left out. We only know her initials, so she's CL and he is HG, all right? But we don't know their full names. She was off to a concert with some friends. Again, we don't know if that was within New Zealand or whether it was abroad.
Okay.
And she says, and she gave a lot of detail in the documents that she gave into the court, but she says that he had agreed to take her to the airport between 10 o'clock and 10:15 a.m. on the given day, and he failed to turn up, right? And that messed up her whole weekend or whatever it was completely, right? Because she says that he had agreed not only to take her to the airport, but also to look after her house and the dogs within the house, right?
Okay,
and
she a lot
had
there.
A lot going on there. And she had to then go and pay for an extra flight. She had to go back home. She had to get out to the airport, pay for that. She had to pay for kennels. And presumably she just left the house to look after itself or whatever. So anyway, she went to sue the boyfriend and the courts, or the ex-boyfriend. They were together for 6.5 years, by the way. So it was a fairly long-term project that was going on there. But the court have said, no, we're dismissing the case, right? The ruling was relatively interesting. They concluded that for an agreement to be enforceable, there needs to be an intention to create a legally binding relationship, and that partners, friends and colleagues make social arrangements. But that there was nothing that was social arrangements, but there was nothing that was necessarily legally binding there. So
yeah,
they dismissed the case, right? They said that all those conditions were true, but it didn't. Excuse me, it didn't equate to a contract as such.
Yeah.
And it was just part of the give and take in any normal intimate relationship. But I wondered by the fact that they said that there was no intention, and there had to be an intention to create a legally binding relationship, if they had been married and subsequently got divorced and something like this had happened, would she have been able to sue?
Yeah,
and
that would imply every promise you make is legally binding.
Is it not?
Yeah, we'd all be in prison if that was the case, I would have thought. Switzerland, or at least it's in Switzerland where this judgment took place. So it involves the UK's richest family doing the kind of things rich people do.
Being horrible to poor people,
yes,
effectively.
Yeah,
absolutely. So this is four members of the Hinduja family. Now, the Hinduja family own the Hinduja Group, right? So they have lots of interest in oil, gas and banking. But people might know them more because they're the owners of Raffles Hotel in London, well-known hotel there. So four members of this family were living in Switzerland. Now, I should say they've kind of got an Indian background, but they all have UK passports. So that's why they're sort of the UK's richest family. They're worth about £37 billion. So it's a significant chunk of change. Four of them, as I said, have now been found guilty of exploitation and illegal employment by a Swiss court, right? So that's Prakash, Hinduja, his wife Kamal, their son AJ, and his wife Namrata, okay? And the case involves three workers who were brought over from India and were apparently not very literate. They were paid very badly. They were paid about £7 to work 18 hours a day. They took home every month about £500 or thereabouts, but they didn't even take it home because it wasn't paid to them in Swiss francs. It was paid in Indian rupees and put into an account in India, so they couldn't access it.
Okay.
Right? Not that they would have had much use for it, because according to the court documents, they weren't allowed to leave the building very often, right? They had no vacation. As I said, they worked ridiculous hours. They slept in a basement, on a mattress in the basement. And the reason they were found guilty is, well, apart from all of that terrible treatment, is because they were paid less than 10% of the amount required under Swiss law.
Mm.
So the Swiss court basically said slavery, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, they were also acquitted on the more serious charge of human trafficking. because they said that these people came over and they knew what they were getting into, albeit that they didn't know how bad
it was, going to be. Yeah.
So these guys have been sentenced to between 4 and 4.5 years
so
in prison.
So they get in prison for this?
Well, this is the thing. So during the trial, it became apparent that a deal had been done. So these guys, the people that have been, the plaintiffs are getting some money.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how much they're getting. In the eyes of the law, of course, the law doesn't really care if you've done a deal, because this is obviously a criminal offence and you broke Swiss law. As it stands, right, the older woman in the family, so the mother, Kamal, is in Monaco at the moment. She's in her late 70s and she's not very well. And all the family, or at least the three members who are also on trial with her, who were on trial with her, are at her bedside at the moment. So it wouldn't surprise me if they stay a little bit longer in Monaco and maybe, you know, slow down the process while they're appealing. But that, as it stands, they should be in prison. They have been sentenced. They are, of course, appealing.
Yeah. Is there an extradition agreement between Monaco and Switzerland?
I would imagine there is. Mm. But you never know with Switzerland. You just never know.
Right, Tajikistan we're going to go to next, where they've banned the hijab.
Yes,
interesting.
Yeah, we haven't been to Tajikistan for a while, or any of the stands for a while, but it's no surprise that Emomali Rahmon, who's been there since 1994, is still there, right? So I did my I'm 48, I did my leaving cert in 94 and he's still president.
Yes.
So that'll put it into context for you.
Anyway, for life.
So absolutely. So he is a man who has a lot of influence over culture in that part of the world, and he's never been a big fan of the hijab and various other things that he believes have come in from foreign countries, right?
Yes.
And are having a detrimental effect on their less conservative Islam that they have in that country, or they like to think that they have there, right? So a good few years ago, back in 2007, the Ministry of Education banned Islamic dress within universities, and then it went out into the public service as well. Now they've rubber stamped this and they're basically bringing in a countrywide ban for everyone, which says no more hijabs are allowed to be worn. Now, that's just one of the new laws that have been brought in. There's 34, 35 others that are coming in around that, and how Muslims, you know, practice within the country.
Is the hijab widely worn there at the moment?
Well, you see, it was for a couple of years, but because there was a de facto ban, a lot of people were stopped from wearing it. But now anybody who wears it, and anybody who sort of promotes the wearing of it will be fined and will be given quite significant fines.
Okay, yeah, interesting development. Right, Zambia we're going to go to next, where an elephant has killed an American tourist.
Yeah, this is a fortunate story from Zambia, where a US tourist from New Mexico, a woman by the name of Juliana Turno, a 64-year-old, was pulled out of a vehicle by an elephant. So she was on safari, would you believe?
My word.
And they were near a town called Livingston. Now, the fact that they were near this town is relatively significant. Livingston has a population of about 130,000 people. And I was looking at various different interviews with locals on local TV there. And it's funny. So when we think of elephants all out in the wild and they're very far away from humans, but it's a bit like bears in Canada.
Yes.
They're closer to humans than we think.
Mm.
And the problem is that humans are getting closer to them and they don't like it.
Yeah.
And they're getting more used to humans. So in this particular instance, as I said, she was pulled out of the vehicle and she was trampled, would you believe? And it's the second such death of a US tourist in Zambia in this year. So there was an incident back in March, something similar happened.
Okay, and obviously the elephant felt its territory was being encroached on, or a threat of some sort.
Absolutely. And this is happening so much more because there is a slight increase in elephant population, but a major increase in human population.
Yeah, indeed. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, a few
Jonathan.
Things coming up, all right, this week. So on Thursday, obviously, we have that compelling lineup in the US presidential debate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there might be more people looking at The Bear, which is also going to be released that day. Brilliant TV series. Friday, Iran is going to elect a new president. The main candidate is already a shoe, and his name escapes me now, sorry.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, fascinating, the first round of elections in France will be happening, and that's going to be something worth watching.
That would be extremely significant. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
As ever, Jonathan de Burka-Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.